हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, राम 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 हरे हरे। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वदेवं प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाशात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वर्स 20, दैट्स आई थिंक वर लुकिंग राइट इसमें वर्स 20 वर्स कृष्ण सेज न प्रकृष्येत प्रियं प्राप्य नो द्विजेत प्राप्य च अप्रियं स्थिर बुद्धि असम्मूढो ब्रह्मविद ब्रह्मणि स्थिताः। ए पर्सन हु नाइदर रिजॉइसेस अपॉन अचीविंग समथिंग प्लेसेंट नोर लैमेंट्स अपॉन ऑब्टेनिंग समथिंग अनप्लेसेंट हु इज सेल्फ इंटेलिजेंट अनबिविल्डेड and who knows the science of God is to be understood as already situated in transcendence. Na prakrishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhir asam moodho, brahmavid brahmani sthida. So, basically Krishna is saying that we all have our karma vasana, but no dvijet prapya cha apriyam. Krishna says that even if there is happiness and happiness or distress, whatever that happens in life, Krishna says there is only one way one can escape from this, and that is by the process Krishna is talking about is that not to get not to touch any object which will eventually give us distress in this world. That's the main thing. That is, once you know that an object is going to give you distress in later in life, you should not touch that with inside. In other words, it should not get inside connection. I mean, it's a thing that, particularly in family life, when we have wife, husband, children, all that, if we get attached anywhere, at any point, then Krishna is saying that it will bring you distress at the end. The very object with whom, where you have imposed the love or attachment, that very attachment will become a cause of distress. So Krishna's point is, if that does not want to happen, if you do not want that to happen, from the beginning, keep that inside, let it not stick inside. It is vyavaharam, it has to be done. Vyavaharam has to be done, but vyavaharam should not lead us into attachment and also to suffer from that later. That's why I said that no object should be touched. Externally, you have to have that prayam towards them. But internally, nothing should stick inside. Krishna says that in the beginning, isn't it? So, like the water in the lotus leaf. So, no matter how great personality one is, and great Mahatma he is, he should not keep attachment to any object which will give distress in the later stage. That is the secret behind it. In Ramayanam, we mentioned this. Lord Ramachandra cries after Sita Devi was kidnapped, isn't it? And one wonder why Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality himself, is going through this type of situation, this kind of situation. So, Sukadeva Goswami said about this, I mentioned also that in the Bhagavadam, in two places he mentions this. Sri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradayam Shajara, he says. It doesn't matter whether it's Ramachandra or anybody. Sri Sanginam, one hears attachment towards the opposite sex. So Sri Sanginam Gadimidi, this is their fate. Pradayam Shajara, that one must know this, he said. So Sukadeva Goswami evaluates Ramachandra like that. And he later says, Gramya Chetasa, those who are in the normal householder life, what chance have they got if Ramachandra has to fall into this trap? Although, when he says that, he knows very well that Ramachandra is in full knowledge, everything is happening. But to teach the world, they have shown all these things, that's all. It's not that Ramachandra has fallen into illusion. Ramachandra is above all this. But to teach the world, because all Mahatmas, their life is to show us how, what will happen if we move away from the truth. We move away from the truth. So it is in that context that it is spoken. On the other hand, Valmiki takes many, many chapters to express this separation, feeling of separation. He takes many chapters to describe how Ramachandra felt after Sita Devi was taken away by Ravana. So therefore, another commentary on Ramayanam, he says that he did not discuss this. In another commentary, he did not discuss this. Because he mentions about it and says like this, that I will not discuss this topic because I don't have the strength of mind to explain the feelings Ramachandra had at that time. So somebody asked him that Valmiki has commented all these things in the Ramayanam. So the person who was commenting, Ramayana Chambu it's called, he says, Ramayanam, you know, has got so many versions. Over 1200 verses Ramayanam is available, written by different great persons like Tulsidas wrote, and then Kambar wrote, and then Adhyatma Ramayanam is there, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Ramayanam is there. In different languages, so many personalities are present in Ramayanam in different ways. So one of them is this Chambu Ramayanam. He says there, I don't have the strength to explain the separational feeling of Ramachandra had, but all I can say is this, Valmiki have said that, after all, Valmiki was not born from the womb of a mother. He says, Valmiki was born from the anthill, isn't it? Valmigam. From the anthill he was born. So he won't know the feelings very much about this. So he says there, like that, Sukadeva Goswami, that Kathoratam, Kathora Chetas means this strong heart. I don't have that to explain Ramchandra's feelings, he said. So, Sukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam, and who has crossed over all kinds of distress, Sukadeva Goswami is beyond this world of distress, isn't it? Because Sarvam Sarvabhuta Kridayam presence all over the, in the heart of everyone as consciousness, who has gone through all that, he is saying like this, Ramachandra has cried. He says there, not even Ramachandra, even Mahavishnu himself comes, he will cry, he says like that. Because who asked him to keep this attachment? That's his question. So, Srisanginam gatimidi pradayam chachara. So because of attachment, distress has come. And Sukadeva Goswami propagates that all the time. And on the one hand, priyam, because priyam is not the cause of distress. Priyam is not the cause. The attachment is the cause of the distress. Priyam comes from the soul. You feel the priyam towards so many other living entities in this world, isn't it? But attachment is the cause of distress. Attachment is the cause of distress. So, actually being situated in one's own swarupam, one's own spiritual identity, is called priyam. So, Bhagavatam is saying like that, that in the Bhagavad Gita also you will see here, that the no prahrishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha apriyam. What does that mean? It means, na prahrishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha apriyam. It does not mean that with your mind, you don't show any priyam or apriyam towards others. That you cannot do. Priyam will come from inside, from the soul. Krishna is saying here, na prahrishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha apriyam. In other words, priyam will come from inside towards various objects in this world. You will feel the priyam. Priyam will be coming from there. But not allowing the mind to take it. That is the most important thing. He says here, na prahrishel priyam prapya, no dvijel prapya cha apriyam. So, not allow the mind to get excited about it. Knowing very well that the priyam is coming from the soul, not allowing the mind to get excited about it. That is more important. In other words, when a lot of good things happen, you start immediately feeling happy about it and getting affected by that. Able to stay in a balanced state. Able to stay in a balanced state. That's what Krishna is saying here. And this is only possible if one is situated on the platform of the soul. If one is in the mental platform, this will not happen. Or on intellectual platform. So that's why it's important to have not allowing the mind to get excited any time. The understanding of the soul is important. So all you can see, the whole spiritual life is centered around the knowledge of the soul. How much we discuss about the soul, how much we understand the soul, we will move away from the mind and the intelligence. Naturally the false ego also. So Krishna says here, sthira buddhi means that steadiness in the buddhi. When we say sthira buddhi means the completely fixed on the soul. No at all interest at all. What happens? Mind is doing the vyavaharam in this world. Let the mind do the vyavaharam. I am not the mind. I am not the body. I am not the intelligence. I am different from all these things. So just like when something good happens, good means something gives some happiness inside. Happiness, who is experiencing that? It's a false ego that is coming out in the form of happiness. That is enjoying that happiness. Similarly, when something unpleasant happens, you have to know that will also go after a while. It will not stay forever. It will not stay forever. Knowing that is important. So, a lot of distress when it happens in life, because distress can happen sometimes, a lot of distress can come in various ways. Separation from the close family members or the society, other people, or say heavy illnesses in the body. Everything can change in life anytime, isn't it? Nothing is permanent here. So, at that time, one has to understand that that so many times this kind of distress comes in life and comes and it goes away. Similarly, this will also come and go. One day it will come and go. And if one can handle this in that way, and you can understand that distress in life, the very nature of distress is like this. As long as we are in the understanding of the body, identity with the body, we will experience that distress. In the process of self-realization, for example, every time when a distress comes, we start thinking, will I be able to survive through this? Will I get through this? This thought will naturally come. And when you are thinking like that, another distress may come at that time in some other form. And similarly, so many people who are close to you, when they leave this world, when you see some people, how they cry at that time, then you will get the impression that they will never be able to live in this world. They will never be able to live in this world. So, but after a few days, you look at them, they'll be watching the television, and they'll again go back to their normal life. After a few days or a few months, the whole distress evaporates and goes away in an unusual way. So, again, they go back, start going outside, start socializing, all these things will start again. What has happened? We are not blaming them for that. Then you cannot hold on to any happiness or any distress in this world continuously. It's not possible. That's the law of this world. That happiness or distress, it doesn't matter. It will only stay for a few hours, few days or few weeks, something like that. It will not last forever. The same happiness you won't get from that, nor the same distress you will receive from the objects of this world. That's the very nature of that. So, why? Because none of them will stay in the soul. Soul is the only thing that's permanent. The mind is, even if you try to hold on to it, it won't stay. It is just like watching the movie. When you watch the movie, it's raining in the movie, isn't it? It's raining, they show. But you don't get wet because of that. Isn't it? You don't get wet because of that. Similarly, there is fire in the screen. But that fire, you don't get burned in that. So same thing, whatever we feel that we are experiencing in the soul, happiness or distress, what we think it is happening in the soul, it's not actually happening in the soul. It's happening in the mind. It's happening in the mind. So because it is like that, it will only last for a short period of time. After that, it will go. It won't stay forever. That is the very nature of the happiness or distress of this world. So even if you want to stop it, you won't be able to hold on to it. It won't be possible to stop it. Where it will come, it will go. And you also cannot create it back again. These are the subtle side of this happiness and distress of this world. If you want to artificially regenerate it again inside, it cannot be done. It can be done. It only happened at that particular moment. When you experience the happiness or distress in this world, it has come and affected your mind for some time, and it will leave the mind and go after some time. But it is at that point all this knowledge should come to help. That when that distress comes, if the knowledge is there, it is happening in the mind, it is not happening in me. It's happening in the mind. If this understanding, if we are sensible, it will come up that point to help. And it will happen in this world. Otherwise, if we, normal way, we identify with the mind and we start thinking, why did this happen to me? Why Krishna has done this to me? Why all this kind of thoughts in that direction, mind will drag us and we can be in serious problems. Because none of this is real. This happiness and distress, what we are experiencing through the mind, is not a real thing, like the soul. So therefore, harsham, Krishna says there, that the no prakrishyed harsham. Harsham, prakrishyed means harsham. Priyam cha prapya, no dvijayed prapya cha apriyam. Sthira buddhir asammoodho brahmavid brahmanisthita. Krishna says that if you have come to that state, who is able to stay in that situation, that sthira buddhi, his buddhi, mind is, he is not attached to either way, when he is happiness or distress, then very quickly he will reach the yoga state inside. Yoga state will happen to him. So when there's a lot of happiness happening in this world, say something, you won a lottery, 20 million or anything like that, and you decided you don't have to work anymore in this world, if something like that happens, if you remember these words, it's good. Because if you stick there, that you will have to cry later on. So it is better to keep that distance at that point. Similarly, when there is unusual, heavy distress happens in life, at that time also we should remember these words. Then that the strength of that distress will come down heavily. The power of this world, the force from this world will not disturb you more unnecessarily. And that after experiencing this for some time, that experience for distance some time, it is only in such situations when their happiness happens or distress comes, we should take Bhagavad Gita and start reading. Immediately, we should take Bhagavad Gita and read it. Because Shanti inside, you should not allow that to get disturbed under any circumstances. So keeping that Shanti is important. And whenever there is distress comes in life or happiness comes in life, Krishna is saying, immediately you should read Bhagavad Gita. Read these chapters where Krishna talks about it and bring the mind back into the Shanti state again. So that is called, all the Mahatmas do that. All the great personalities who are advancing on the spiritual path, they hold on to Bhagavad Gita in that way. It's called Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means constantly holding on to this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. They don't go into the mental platform and go for a trip through the mind. They come out of the mind and take Bhagavad Gita and stay with the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. Because this is absolute knowledge. There's no necessity to doubt it, or there's no necessity to question it. There's no necessity to analyze it. There's no need for all that. It is absolute knowledge. And if we hold on to that in all situations, whenever there is any kind of happiness comes or distress comes, which is changing our balance inside, immediately we should read Bhagavad Gita. This is Krishna's point. Na prahishyel prapyacha apriyam. Krishna says, sthirabuddhi asammodho. Sthirabuddhi is important. Sthirada, steadiness inside. Asammodho. Brahmavid brahmanisthida. Brahmavid brahmanisthida. He is in the state of, in the Brahma. If it is not practiced, he says, this is a sadhana actually. This is a sadhana. If we can't do any other sadhana, at least this sadhana we have to do. We have to do. See, in the chanting process and all that is there to help us to understand that the attachment to Krishna is important. But at the same time, these internal adjustments are also necessary. It will not happen otherwise. If we get excited of every little thing in this world and similarly get depressed by everything what's happening here, Krishna says that is not a very good sign of a person in spiritual life. So that's why he says here that samasthiti, this is when happiness comes, no movement inside. When distress comes also, no movement inside. In both cases, samasthiti. Samatvam yogamuchyade, Krishna says later. That samatvam, that equal mind, is yoga state. So one who has moved, stayed in that state, who has practiced that state and reached that state, is called sthirabuddhi. That word Krishna used there. Sthirabuddhi asammodo, he says, isn't it? Brahmavid brahmanisthida. That sthirabuddhi asammodo, he says. Asammodha means one who is not a modha. Or in other words, one who has no sthirabuddhi, he is a modha. He is a modha. Modha means one in whom tamogunam is very prominent. One who is very, one whose mind and intelligence is completely in the tamogunam. That is modathvam. Modathvam means that. So sthirabuddhi is asammodho. One who has got sthirabuddhi, he is free from that modathvam, asammodham. So in other words, ajnanam or ignorance has left him. Ignorance has gone away from him. And he is always in the same state. So in other words, brahmavid. Another word Krishna uses is brahmavid. One who knows brahmam. And brahmanisthidaha. He is fixed in the brahmam. Brahmanisthidaha. He is not in the body. He is not in the mind. Or he is not in the false ego. Mind, body, false ego. All these things. And anything that affects and has some reaction there, that does not disturb him in the body, in the mind, or in the false ego. This is where all the reaction happens, isn't it? If you get sick, the reaction is in the body. If you get happiness in some form, it affects the mind. Injury, or insult, or glorifications. It affects the mind as well as the false ego. Isn't it? If somebody is insulted, false ego gets disturbed. So, Brahmavid Brahmanisthita. He is situated in the Brahman. After saying this, Krishna is talking about the same thing in the next verse. If you look at the next verse, he says there, The Brahma with Brahmanistita, and what is that symptom? That's what he's saying, Krishna, in the next verse. Bahya sparsheshva saktatma vindandyatmani yat sukham sabhyama yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam asnute bahya sparsheshva saktatma vindatyatmani yat sukham sabhyama yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam asnute bahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindadi atmani yat sukham sabhyama yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam asnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure or external objects, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. Bahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindadi atmani yat sukham sab brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam asnute. Krishna says, so the moment you stop the mind going to the world outside, immediately you can see that shanti comes inside. The moment mind withdraws from the world, shanti comes from inside. This is the very nature of the mind. Mind, when it goes outside, it gets disturbed. And that is why many people who are practicing spiritual life seriously, that they will in a week, at least a day or so, some people they do weeks together or months together, they move away from the world. They stay away from the world, not keeping any contact with the world, watching TV or reading newspapers and things like that, or not even discussing any worldly topics. And we have to isolate ourselves from this world. Sometimes it's necessary. And even karmis do that, isn't it? When they work hard for 7-10 days, they one day go back to their countryside cottage. They want to withdraw from this world. So it's a nature in us. But for spiritually aspiring or spiritually advancing people, for them it's important that not to get too absorbed in this world. In other words, even if one has to deal with many people all the time, at some point one has to withdraw from that and move away from this and go to some holy places, temple, and somewhere, and keep a little absorbed in the truth, keep fixed in the truth. So we have to isolate ourselves, and you have to live alone, not lonely. You have to live alone, but not lonely. Now, in the Vivek Ramani, it says like this, that Bahye niruddhe manasa prasannada mana prasade paramatma darshanam tasmin sudushte bhavabandha nasho bahir nirodha padavi vimukte. Says bahye niruddhe manasa prasannada, that bahyam niruddhe, bahya means external world, niruddha means nirodham, nirodha means to block. If you block the world outside, manasa prasannada, mind will be in a prasannam state, in a shanti state, prasannada. Then, manaprasade paramatma darshanam. If the mind is not agitated, you will realize the paramatma inside, darshanam of the paramatma. Darshanam means the experience of the self will happen. Tasmin sudrishte bhavabandha nashau and bahir nirodha padavi vimukte. Tasmin sudrishte, when it's perfectly realized, the chain of birth and death is broken. Bhavabandham nasham. Bhava means to cycle of repeated birth and death. Bhavabandham. That connection with this repeated birth and death is broken at that time when one is withdrawn from the world outside. Bahir nirodaha padavi vimukte. And shutting out of the external world, is the padavi vimukta, is the stepping stone to the liberation. Stepping stone to liberation is shutting out the world outside. In the jnanamargam, it is like that. So, as much as the mind which is going outwardly, it has to be turned inside. It has to be turned inwards. And if we stay without chittavritti, any chittavritti inside, in isolation, naturally you will experience the mind is becoming peaceful. Mind is becoming peaceful. This anybody can try and feel it yourself. That if you withdraw from the world, not getting involved in anything, even in the middle of all family life, also one has to practice this. To come out of family life and stay quietly from everything for some time. And not allow chittavritti and not do anything. Completely in a quiet state, silent state. And immediately you will see that as soon as you withdraw from the world, vyavaharam everything, and no TV, no newspaper, no connection with this world, and sit quietly, and you will experience that the mind is becoming peaceful. This is not to be spoken about. People know that it is possible to come to that stage. So that's what Krishna says here, that mind will become happy, and there will be some little bit more subtle level you can start thinking. This constantly agitated mind, constantly running over all over the world, is not very conducive for spiritual life. You see, even in the sannyasam stage also, historically sannyasins never traveled by cars, buses, planes and all that. They walked from one temple to another, or one village to another. So that means it was much more in a very sattvic state they lived in this world. Whereas this 900 miles an hour running around all over the world, it is a Kali Yuga sannyasam it is. In this way it is happening today. You can see that it is very difficult when you are so much bombarded with your journey and this traveling like this. Where is the possibility of any inward reflection, unless they are so advanced that they are not disturbed over anything. But for ordinary people, it is impossible to stay in spiritual consciousness when there is a complete absorption in the rajogunam. It is rajogunam, isn't it? This traveling at this pace all over the world. I don't know whether it is Shastram has never seen anywhere recommended like this, that one has to do that. That in the ancient times, everybody walked. Walking means you will only walk that much, how much the body allows you. But still, maybe 5 miles, 10 miles, not more than that in a day. And then you halt somewhere. And generally, they stayed 3 or 4 days in a place before they moved on to the next spot. And it is not going to cause any such a big stress on a person. Whereas businessmen travel a lot, isn't it? And they create a lot of stress in their life because of that travel. And not only the jet lag on the body, on the mind, everything, the effect is very considerable. And if the same thing, if spiritual life also, if we create on ourselves, what is the difference between these two lifestyle? So, as soon as the Krishna says here that in order that the attention to go towards the soul, and we will realize the jivatma inside, we'll understand that the Paramatma connection, in other words, the awareness inside the Shraddha, attention will go towards that point. What am I? This question will come. And only for the sake of sadhana, it is spoken like that in the beginning. But if once you have advanced a little bit, even if you are in the middle of other people, your consciousness of the self will not be lost. There are many examples like that about this. Because even you can sit in the middle of other people, but still you're still conscious of what you are. That is the most important thing. So if we do not keep too much contact with the world outside, the mind will become stronger. So in other words, mind will go inward looking more. That is why in Ekadashi state, Ekadashi we celebrate devotees in one level. That is understanding that Ekadashi is the fasting, Ekadashi is chanting, Ekadashi is withdrawing from other material activities. Basically what Ekadashi means is this, Ekadashi means 11. Five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, and the mind. 5 plus 5 plus 1, 11. Withdrawing all the 11 things from the world outside is Ekadashi. That is the principle behind Ekadashi, is that withdrawing all the 11 things from the world outside and not allowing any of the senses to engage in any kind of sense gratification. Any kind of sense gratification. So, and offering all the 11 sense and the mind in Krishna's service. In other words, absorbed in Krishna, absorbed in the self-knowledge, absorbed in self-realization. That is Ekadashi proper. So, that becomes experience. And then Krishna says here that eventually, bahyasparsheshu asaktatma vindati atmani yat sukham. Krishna says, if we keep on practicing that, attachment goes away from the world outside, then he says, atmani vindati, vindati atmani yat sukham. Atmani vindati yat sukham. He says that there is a happiness from that inside. And how do we see that happiness inside? What do we have to do? What do we have to do for that, to see that happiness inside? It is like this. If we want, normally what the people do when they want to watch the television, they close the curtains, close the door, everything, isn't it? And then they keep the remote in the hand and watch the TV. Similarly, this house what we are living in, that is this material body, we have to shut the windows. Just like watching the television means you close the windows. Similarly, to see the soul inside, we have to shut the windows. Windows are the senses and the mind. And that means eyes, ears, nose, all senses should stop its operations. And it should go inwards where the television is. Inside is the heart. That's where the hridayam. And it has to sit there and start enjoying that vastu inside. Vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam. That vastu that is inside, the nectar that is inside, that should be enjoyed. And almani yet sukham vindade, Krishna says, akshayam sukham ashnute. That akshayam it is. Akshayam means one that does not have any, it doesn't reduce, it always stays, happiness stays, it never reduces. Akshayam ashnute, kshayam, no kshayam. So, once we are in contact with the soul inside, or awareness inside, there is a happiness that is amrutam, nectar. There is sweetness. And once we start experiencing that sweetness, Krishna says he is in the Brahma Yoga, all in the state of yoga. At the moment, we are not in Brahma Yoga. We are in Brahma Yoga. Brahma means everything is Brahmam for us, isn't it? We want this, we want that, so many things to become happy in this world. So, when we are freed from that problem of becoming happy through Brahmam, so what's happening at the moment, everything that is does not have any real existence, we feel that it has reality, isn't it? We have feeling it as reality. Satyam or truthfulness has got four different branches. One is the absolute truth, which is known as Paramarthika Satyam. Paramarthika means absolute. That's the only reality. Soul is Paramarthika, absolute reality. Then in Vyavaharam there is a reality, isn't it? In our daily transactions, there is a truth in there. For example, suppose I borrowed 100 pounds from somebody and I'm telling him that I'll give it back to you tomorrow or a week later. Now, it's only true to the extent that if I survive another week, if he is there after a week, and if I have money, it will happen. It's subjected to so many things, isn't it? Conditional it is. So because it's conditional, if I die tomorrow and after a week, my promise has no meaning. So that is why it's called apparent reality. So absolute reality, then there is apparent reality. Is apparent reality what we are dealing with this in this world? Then there is Pradivasika Satyam. Pradivasika means it's only a reflection of the truth. For example, in the mind during the dream state, what you experience is Pradivasikam. It is only when you are in that state, it is true. But when you come out of that state, it's not true anymore. Isn't it? In that particular state, it's a reflection of the truth in that particular state. That is called pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means it is reflecting at that time. But when you are in that state, it is the truth. When you are dreaming, it is the truth for you at that state, isn't it? So therefore, it's called pratibhasam. So, paramarthiyam, pratibhasam. Then vyavaharam is relative truth. Then there is the last one is asatyam, which is not truth at all, completely false. So truth is in the Vedantam is divided like this into four states. So the way it is Krishna says here that when you feel that everything is real, real, real in this world, that in order to come out of this, which is not real, that is why we feel everything is real in this world, isn't it? And why the mind has gone outside and started accepting, the mind has started accepting it's real, it's real. Job is real, house is real, family is real, society is real, life is real, everything is real for us at the moment. So to free ourselves from this experience of reality, what we are feeling like that the mind has to come out of it. And it has to go inward looking. And what happens, just like when the mind goes inside, you will get to know the soul. You will experience, understand about the importance of the soul. And once we get experience of the soul to some degree, we will experience temporary nature of this world. Temporary nature of this world. Most of the people who have no interest in spiritual life, they have completely accepted the world as reality, isn't it? That's why Krishna says here, Vindati Almani Yat Sukham. Almani Vindati Yat Sukham. Almani means he is experiencing the enjoying the pleasure within, he says. Isn't it? What is that pleasure within? It's the pleasure of the soul. Pleasure of the soul. There is a fresh pleasure coming from the soul. Akshayam Ashnute, Amritam Ashnute, Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. The last line, if you look, you will see. Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. That Sukham, happiness coming from the soul, is Akshayam. Akshayam means it never comes down. It never, unlimited it is. Or there is never any reduction in that. That Sukham coming from the soul is Akshayam Ashnute. And it never reduces. So, once we start experiencing that, in order that to happen, the mind has to go inwards. Just like they gave the example that, you know, when the When women, they churn the butter, milk, they get the butter from that, isn't it? After that, they'll put the butter in the same buttermilk. But butter never gets lost in the buttermilk. Again, it stays separately from the buttermilk. From the buttermilk. So similarly, this knowledge of butter, will come out when we start churning inside. When we start standing inside. And afterwards, wherever we go, that the butter will not melt. It will stay in that buttermilk, but it will not melt in the, go back to its original state. It won't go back. Similarly, once this knowledge of butter inside is churned and got it, or the experience of the soul is obtained, then even if you do any vyavaharam in this world, the always you are still situated on the platform of the soul. So, if you look into all the jnanis, if you look at them carefully, even their photographs, if you look at them, you will notice that they are not looking anywhere. Their eyes are open, but it will not be like the way we look at things. Suppose I'm looking at this, I can just see this. My eyes are completely focused on that speaker set. But if you look into any photographs of any realized souls, you will see that they are not looking at anything. The eyes are not doing anything. Senses are completely under control. They are completely fixed inside. Eyes are wide open, but they are not seeing anything. That is that state. All photographs, if you can look at all the great jnanis, Chandrasekhara Bharati is a famous example for that. Yeah, his photographs are everywhere in the minds. If you look at his face, you will see that he is not looking anywhere. His eyes are open, but he is not looking anywhere. Same thing with Ramana Maharshi and many others like that. So, jnanam, once that realization has happened inside, then even the senses you will see changing. The sensual activities will change. And about Abhinav Vidyadhartha, it is spoken like this, that he was in that state often, even in the middle of great processions and festivals. Sometimes they were taking him to different temples for some festivals or something. And when he goes there, he will be in the middle of so many people, will be there. A lot of activities will be going, music, drama, and all kinds of activities will be going on. But in the middle of that, suddenly he withdraws himself and be situated in that state. That is possible for jnanis. Jnanis can do that. That is that practicing that state all the time. That is help them that way. That their drishti means the vision, is always inward looking and never outside. And that you can see when they have in that realized state, how they are experiencing the joy of the soul within themselves. That one can notice that. Because once this awakening happens inside, who I am, that awareness happens inside, who am I and what? Who am I? This question will come. What am I? What is this thing called I? And initially, it's only something we hear through the eyes, but not more than that. But once you keep on chanting the holy name, and while chanting also, if you ask this question after a long time and you are chanting, because while chanting, the mind keeps slowly, quietly start withdrawing from the world. Inward-looking nature builds up in a person. And when that happens, and if for a second if we stop the chanting and think about these things, about the soul, nature of the soul, and who the soul is, and our connection with the soul, in that way, if we absorb in that, then you will understand who is this person who is chanting. This question you have to ask. And similarly, when you get angry also, if you are able to get out of that anger and think for a second, who is getting angry? Who is getting angry? So similarly, when somebody gives us something and makes us happy, even if you can think who is getting happy, or if somebody offends you, speaks to you in insulting manner, and even then, or offends you in any way, if you start thinking who is getting offended, in all these situations, there is a possibility of going back to the soul easily. Because it is in these situations, that means whichever way the external world is affecting us, in the form of sukham, dukkham, happiness, distress, pain, pleasure, in all these situations, for a moment, if you can withdraw and ask yourself, who is this person experiencing it, immediately you will see that you will go back to the soul. Soul will become takeover at that time. Soul will take over at that time. The identity with the mind will go away. That's the only way you can do that. So, mind has one nature and it will take one form and hold on to it. That's the nature of the mind. Normally, mind is distributed in so many things. But suddenly somebody spoke to you something very harshly. Have you noticed the nature of the mind, how it is? Mind will leave everything else and will hold on to that very strongly. And then mind will say, oh, you've done this to me, you've spoken to me like this, haven't you? How the mind acts from inside, that you've spoken to me like this. And that time, I am that spurti, aham vritti, that means in the form of ahangaram, ahangara vritti, it will take you. And if you are able to think at that time, that it is the mind that is getting affected. And if you keep on holding on to that spurti, especially when someone speaks, say, something unpleasant to us or in a harsh way, at that time, the mind becomes very concentrated. In other words, it gets a lot of concentration at that point. Suppose somebody has spoken to you something very, some road rage happened, or in a situation like that. When your mind becomes, oh, it's like this, immediately you get angry with that person, isn't it? So it is at that time that you're conscious of your own awareness of that aham spurti, and that is a ahangara vritti, isn't it? It's a false ego that is doing that. But it will take you to this confidential place inside the heart. That means that at that point, if you are able to think like this, in this way, who is getting angry or who is experiencing this insult, immediately you will realize that it is a false ego that is going through this, not me, and it will take your attention towards the soul. So similarly, when anything happens inside, any happiness comes inside, in the same way, if the happiness and distress both are experienced by the ahankaram, false ego in a person, that is what actually, that we must be very clear. Happiness when you experience and distress when you experience in this world, who is experiencing is actually the ahankaram, false ego. If there is no ahankaram, there is no happiness, there is no distress either. It is one, some karmam happiness is happening in this world. That's all it is. But karmam becomes, affects you only when the ahankaram steps in there. Remember that. Ahankaram, when it steps in, karmam affects you. That's why constantly Krishna is saying that you have to live in this world in karma yogam. If it is done in karma yogam, ahankaram won't step in. Then you are in a realized state. Yogasthiti happens there. So as soon as mind will give up this nature of going in the world outside, and if you practice it that way, allow the mind all the time to live in the world outside, then it will always go outside. But if you practice this inside, it will develop that nature. It's a question of practice, that as much time we devote for that, to practicing, to allow the mind to go inward looking, to withdraw from the world. We think we have a lot of responsibility in this world, isn't it? This is how we live in this world. We have commitment at home, commitment at the office, commitment at so many other places. So we allowed the mind to go on outward like this and to get absorbed in all these things. And that's why we find spiritual life so difficult, because of that. If we had not taken all these unwanted, unnecessary responsibilities all over the world, then mind won't go like that. Mind has to have some place to engage itself. The question, where do we engage the mind? If we allow the mind to engage in the world outside, it will take us outside more. If we allow the mind to go inwards and engage there, it will take us inward looking. So you can see this, that so many lifetimes mind has been wandering around like this in the world outside. That's why Sushma Shariram has built up from that, isn't it? Mind created the Sushma Shariram. So Sushma Shariram was created by the mind, and we are experiencing the distress life after life in the same way. So you look at children, if you look at small children, 2, 3, 4 years old children, that their drishti is inside. I don't know whether you have noticed that. The children, when they grow up, initially the drishti is not outside, drishti is inside. Drishti means their vision. And little by little we pull their attention to the world outside. We create this in them. So nobody takes birth in this world with the vision outside in the world. The baby is born. The child, baby is not looking in the world outside. Even if you look at the eyes of the baby, you will see the babies have not looking anywhere. Not looking anywhere. And then mother and others start saying, oh, the child is not able to recognize. And we start then creating this inside, telling the baby that, look at this, this is your mom and this is your dad, look at the dad and look at your brother, look at your sister, who this, that, all family members you keep on asking this question to the child. And the moment the child starts recognizing one as mother, one as father, you feel happy. What we have done to the child is, the child's inward looking nature, we have brought it, pulled it outwardly. That's what we have done to the baby. That's what we feel. One more has now joined us in this misery in the world outside. So that's why the mother says this, oh, the drishti has not developed inside yet in the baby. So we feel happiness at that time, but what we have done is a thing like this, that drishti has come out from inside. Then we start telling, look at this, look at the cat, look at the dog, and when the elephant goes through the street, look at the elephant, like this, take the attention as much as possible outside. That's what we do to the babies. We're thinking that we are educating the child. There itself the ignorance has started, when this education begins, from the from the family. So that is what spiritual life and material life difference is, isn't it? So, and the more we educate them in this way, in this world, in all the worldly things, it becomes so external, the vision, then it becomes very difficult to go inward looking. So this is your mom, this is your dad, and in that way, we have hypnotized them. And then we start teaching them the numbers, 1, 2, 3, and there the duality starts. See how everything happens. One side, we are teaching them all the names and all the forms, namarupam. All what is against spiritual life is the way we educate them. Spiritual life is namarupam, isn't it? All different names and different forms in this world is called namarupam. Different names and different forms. Namam and rupam, name and the form we have given to it. Actually, the substance, that is why in Hamsa Gita, when you study, Krishna is asking that question, isn't it? He's saying there that where is the difference between one material body and another material body? Both are made of 5 material elements. There is practically no difference. Only the mix may be slightly different, but elements are the same, which is used for mixing and creating the body. On the other hand, another difference what you will notice is in the form. One is a male form, one is a female form. So namam is different, rupam is different. They are not real difference, but that will change. After a while, both will go. So namarupam, when you give importance to it and take the attention of the baby towards namarupam, that is actually avidya. It's not education. From the Shastram, it is not education. More we get educated in that way, namarupam increases in this world. Namarupam increases in this world. Then that namarupam increases, we see all these different forms, cat, dog, buffalo, cow, elephant, brahmana, kshatriya, brahmachari, grahastha, all are namarupam only, isn't it? Namam and rupam we have given. Reality is only the soul that is in everything. That's only reality in there. And to know that, we have to go inward looking, not externally. If you absorb in namarupam all the time, where is the question of knowing the soul? It will not happen. So that's what it says. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, while educating in this way, we will get them trapped in somewhere. We have to trap them in that way. In Bhagavatam, Avadhuta is saying like this, isn't it? About the deer, if you know that story in the 24 spiritual masters, the deer. The deer says that the deer get trapped in the sound. You know that. The deer get trapped in the sound. When the hunter wants to catch the deer, what does he do? He plays music. As soon as the music is heard, immediately the deer will stop running. He will stand there and he is affected by the... He will not be looking anywhere. His heads will be moving, but he will be absorbed in the music. Music has got a big weakness for the music, for the sound. Similarly, Jiva, living entity also, it gets trapped by the sound and become absorbed in that. It becomes a slave of the sound or the speech. And actually, sound has no meaning, isn't it? Sound has no meaning. We are talking so many things now, and as though it's a big topic that we are discussing. But suppose somebody comes here who does not know the language, who doesn't know English. He will come here, and will he understand anything? He will understand nothing. It's just only sound going through. You can immediately notice, say someone comes here who does not understand one word of English, he comes here, he sits there, and we keep on talking like this, that sound will have no effect on him. Isn't it? It will have no effect on him. Why? Because the sound what we are generating, we have given some meaning to it. And we think that all these words mean something, all these words, this is what it meant by that. But when he does not understand, it does not have any effect on him. So, and suppose I have spoken something harshly towards him, he would not understand that, so he won't get upset about it. Unless you show it to him. But suppose I speak to him in French, it's a French person came here, I spoke to him in French, and spoke to him everything in French in a harsh way towards him, then immediately you will see the reaction from him coming out, isn't it? So all the meaning, we have to give it to that, the words also. We have given this meaning to these words, isn't it? So this is how language is developed. We have created certain sound vibrations and we have given a meaning to those sound, isn't it? We have given a meaning to that sound, and then that creates some waves inside us, the same, because that's the meaning that we have given to it. This is a subtle thing to know, that sound we have created, some sound we are creating, and we are saying this sound means this. That also we are saying, we have decided that this is what it means. And then that very sound is creating waves inside when it's spoken to us. Somebody speaks to us, isn't it? So Krishna's point is this, that the sound waves, what is creating this impact on us, is a trap, because language you keep on creating. Now, for example, you've got a computer language even, isn't it? Text message, also there's a language for that. So we create all these traps and we are stuck in that. We are stuck in that trap of the sound. We are stuck in that now. Because as soon as somebody says something to us, we are stuck in that, affected by that, isn't it? So, how to get out of this trap of the sound? That is the most important thing. How to get out? That's a science itself. How to get out of the trap of the sound? A kind of a dehypnotizing from that. It's a kind... How to not allow the mind not to go outward looking, outwardly towards the various sounds that's happening. So in order to know that, we have to find out where the mind was come from, where the mind has come from. Wherever it has come from, it has to go back and get itself dissolved there. That is the important principle. Where the mind has come from, it should go back to the same place and should get dissolved there. So Krishna says here that as soon as it's there, the mind is there, it is an asat. When it is there, it will give you a lot of happiness today and will give you a lot of distress tomorrow. That is the very nature of this mind. Just like a person who is taking alcohol, who is drinking, initially happiness, then he wants to get out of it. After some time, many people, they want to come out of this habit of drinking. But he's unable to do it. Similarly, we also have developed this habit of creating a lot of thought waves inside, chittavritti inside. And we got used to it, creating this chittavritti inside. It has become our habit. So, and that habit, it is not easy to give it up. Like the way alcohol habit, in the same way. That's a trap. So only one way is, Lalita Sahasranamam says this, Andarmukha Samaradhya Bahirmukha Sudurlabha. This is a famous statement in the Lalita Sahasranamam. Like Vishnu Sahasranamam, Lalita Sahasranamam is from the Devi Bhagavadam. Sri Parvati's Bhagavadam is Devi Bhagavadam. In there, Lalita Sahasranamam is a famous prayer there. It is used in all Devi temples for worshipping Sri Parvati. It's a famous prayer, sir, and very potent as well, because of the mantra. Every word in that Lalita Sahasranamam is famous, with which, in fact, Bhagavadam also taken some part from that. Many places you will see. Kartyayani, Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Adishwari. Gopis were singing this when they were praying to Krishna to have Krishna as their husband. Kartyayani Mahamaye Mahayogini Adishwari Nanda Govasudam Devi Padimme Kurude Nama. That Nanda Maharaj's son, please let him come as our husband. If you remember, when the gopis had performed that Kartyayani Vratam, in the Bhagavadam you can read, Kartyayani Vratam they performed for 41 days in the autumn season. And at that time, that is how first time Krishna went and stole the gopis' clothes and all that happened at that time. So there, all this mantram, Kartyayani, Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Adishwari, this is all from Lalita Sahasranamam. So you can see Lalita Sahasranamam is so well known that it is a very powerful way of offering worship of Sri Parvati. So there it is says here, Bhirmukha Samaradhya Andharmukha Sudurlabha. Bhirmukha means one who is vision is outside, for him it's very difficult. Andharmukha Sudurlabha, one who has gone inward looking, whose nature has, who has developed that nature of transcendental nature inside, analyzing the world inside and able to withdraw from the world and be fixed on the platform of the soul. So for him it is Sudurlabha. It is not difficult at all, absolutely easy. So when his attention goes inwards, he is situated in that situation, that experience at that time, Andharmukhatvam. Vedavyasa Maharshi is Andharmukham. You will see all the sages in the Bhagavatam also, same thing. When Vedavyasa Maharshi felt unhappiness before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, remember in the Bhagavatam in the first canto? Yeah, you will see there. Vedavyasa Maharshi felt unhappy, isn't it? So, sages have this habit, Andharmukhatvam. They will know, they won't go outside looking, where's the solution? They go inward looking. Why am I feeling unhappy? And after I have done so much, he wrote all the Puranas, 18 Puranas he wrote, Upapuranas he wrote later, Mahabharatam he wrote, and still some unhappiness inside, Vedavyasa Maharshi felt. So he says there that I felt unhappiness inside, and he looked inward looking. And then the reply, answer came from inside. They know that, how to talk to the Super Soul. And how that answer comes from inside, that I have not done this. What was that? I did not glorify Krishna. So that answer came from inside, even before Narada Maharshi came to see him. He only waited afterwards, if the answer what I have received from inside, is that what exactly? That's like a second opinion, we say, isn't it? When you are sick, when your body is ill and you're going to, it's affected some very critical illness and you have to go through an operation or something, and your mind, you are not sure whether to go through the operation or not, what most of the people do, they go for a second opinion, isn't it? You consult somebody else, another consultant or a doctor or something like that. Similarly, Narada Maharshi comes there, and the discussion with Narada Maharshi is a second opinion. It's not already the answer he has got from inside, that what is gone wrong. He knew what has gone wrong, that I didn't glorify Krishna enough. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's appearance in this world, for purpose for which Krishna has appeared here, is to create interest in the people's mind about self-realization and the beautiful pastimes Krishna has performed in the Krishna Leela, Bali Leela particularly, is for this purpose. I did not do that. I did not glorify that. That thought, and that is why when he started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, when he wrote, Balalila has been given such a wide importance to it. All those chapters from appearance onwards, right up to the 90 chapters in the 10th canto, is continuously expanding on the... Whereas in Mahabharatam, if you look, most of the stress is on dharmam, isn't it? On dharmam. But dharmam is not the only goal. I did not talk about Krishna enough, and therefore Mahabharatam was compiled. This he has understood even before Narada Maharshi had come. But in the conversation with Narada Maharshi, what you find there is, Narada Maharshi is giving the confirmation, yes, your conclusion is right. That's what you should have done. And then that discussion, famous discussion in the fifth chapter, in the first canto. It's worthwhile studying that chapter, because you will observe that a lot of things what Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyasa Maharshi about that. So you can see here that inward looking brings knowledge, brings shanti, and brings happiness, bliss inside. So Bahirmukham Manas, the mind which is Bahirmukham, it should go Andharmukham. That is what Krishna is saying here, that Bahyasparsheshu, this whole world is centered around the inward looking nature of a person. Bahyasparsheshu asaktatma vindadi atmani yat sukham sabhrahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnuti. That's what that verse is saying to us. This Andharmukhatvam, not Bahirmukhatvam. The person who is Andharmukha, he is happy and he has experienced the happiness. That sukham is akshayam. Akshayam means one, it does never diminishes. It's always on the increase. Unlimited it is. Asnute enjoys. Asnute enjoys. So, Bahya Sparshesha Saktalma Vindatyalpani Yat Sukham Sabhrahma Yoga Yuktalma Sukham Akshayam Asnute. From this verse, only thing Krishna is telling us is that develop this Antarmukhatvam. Don't develop Bahirmukhatvam. That is the warning there. Don't develop Bahirmukhatvam. Develop Antarmukhatvam. Antarmukhatvam means seriousness, grave inside, and always absorbed, fixed on the truth. Nothing in this world is real. Everything is false. That firm conviction in that. And be able to be constantly holding on to the truth inside, the reality, the awareness, or that Atma Swarupam, or the spiritual consciousness inside. Now, if you look into the purport, Prabhupada mentions Ivanacharya's famous quotation, Yadavadi mamache eda krishna pada aravinde navanavarasa dhama dham anudya anudya rendumasil tadavadi bada nari sangame smaryamane bhavadi mukha vihara sushtunishtivanam cha. Ivanacharya's famous quotation. Ivanacharya was Ramanujacharya's spiritual master. So he says here, since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the very thought, and my lips curl with distaste. So a devotee's process is getting absorbed in Krishna. Jnani's process is getting absorbed in the soul. That's all. Krishna is the soul. So devotee approaches in one way, Krishna, Jnani approaches in a different way. But purpose, both are inward looking. Whether you are a devotee or whether you are a Jnani, you are inward looking still. You have to be inward looking. That absorption in Krishna inside is the devotee's process. Absorption in the soul inside is a Jnani's process. But either Jnani or a Bhakta, it doesn't matter. Internal absorption is necessary. Internal absorption is necessary. Without internal absorbed, simply doing things outside all the time with raga dvesham, attachment and aversion, and then saying that it's all service, is not the proper training for the inward nature. So that is the point Krishna is making here. The mind that is going outside, if it is go inward looking and find the soul and start on the meditation on the soul, akshayam sukham asnude, a sukham which does not diminishes, or unlimited sukham or anandam, happiness, a shandi which will never, you will not never lose that shandi again, and that will happen inside. Sukham akshayam ashnute. And what is the reason why you are experiencing that shanti inside? What is the reason for that shandi inside? Reason for that is ahangaram is gone completely from inside. That's the reason. It is because of ahankaram only, the false ego inside only, that we are feeling this distress inside. But once the shanti is experienced, it means that is only way you can say, when the shanti is inside, ahankaram leaves. Ahankaram leaves inside. Up to that time, everything I am doing, I have done this, I have done that, I'll do that. All this ahankaram will dictate to us. But once the mind is withdrawn from the world, gone inward looking, and he will experience that shandi inside, and when the shandi is experienced, at that time false ego goes away, and he will experience the atmanubhavam, the joy of the soul, he will experience that. And that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse, in 22. Verse 22, he's talking about that experience of the yogi. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkhayonayamevate adyandavanta kaunteya nateshuramate budha. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkhayonayamevate adyandavanta kaunteya nateshuramate budha. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkhayonayamevate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshuramate budha. Translation: an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery. which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. It's the same thing what we are talking about. Happiness and distress will come and it will go. It has a beginning and it has an end as well. So the wise man does not take... Spiritual life is all about getting fixed on the permanent thing, not on the temporary thing, isn't it? Soul is permanent, body is temporary. Soul is permanent, mind is temporary. Soul is permanent, intelligence is temporary. Soul is permanent, the false ego is temporary. Soul is permanent, the external world is temporary. So everything temporary we have to leave. Yam hi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yoni mevate. Dukkha yoni means the source of distress. The yoni, the source of distress is dukkham, is the Krishna says here that all this bhogam or happiness or the enjoyment and the distress, the source is ehi samsparshaja yoga. Let's look at that. Samsparshajam bhogaha. Bhogam means bhogam actually means something that you are experiencing in the mind. Sparsham means to touch something. So Krishna says here samsparsham. Samsparsham means good contact, something I hold on to it very tightly, that is samsparsham. Sparsham means to touch, samsparsham means to hold strongly on to that. That is samsparsham. There's a difference. Sparsham means to touch. Samsparsham means I'm holding on to it very firmly. That is samsparsham. So samsparsham means what? Every happiness and distress in this world, if you look, every happiness and distress in this world, if you look at it, you will see it is because of your contact with that object. Contact with the object. Very easy to understand that, isn't it? Suppose you have contact with somebody, say you have contact with the family members in various ways, therefore their separation or their happiness or distress affects you because you have contact with them. You have no contact with millions of people in this world. So when anything happens to them, it does not affect you. So everything is coming from the contact. That's what most important thing Krishna is saying here. Samsparsham. So the stronger the contact is, the greater the distress is. It's the truth behind it is that the stronger the contact, the greater the distress. That's what Krishna is saying here. Yam hi samsparshajo yogam. He says here, isn't it? Yehi samsparshajo bhoga dukha yone mevate. You have to suffer. You have to suffer. So this is self-realization. Knowing ourselves to be the soul and leaving the contact with everything else in this world. This is important. This is very important. Dehi samsparshajo bhoga dukha yone mevate. No, how will this happen? When I know at the end, everything in this world will give me distress at the end, in one way or the other. Whether it's family members or material objects, they're all leading to distress. Will lead into distress eventually. Once I have understood that point, dehi samsparshajo bhoga, they are all sources of my distress. Dukkayoni. All these so-called objects are sources of my distress. That is the first realization inside. Once that happens, adhyandavanta kaunteya nateshu ramade buddha. Why do I know that they are all sources of unhappiness? Because they have a beginning and they have an end. They have a beginning and they have an end. And therefore, I should not contact them. I should not keep a contact with them. Adhyandavanta kaunteya nateshu ramade buddha. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Then, and nateshu ramade buddha. Buddha means intelligent person. He will not see how subtle the whole thing is, that how subtle level we have to operate all the time. We shouldn't be gross, feeling, getting affected by everything in this world, what's going on. Nateshu ramade buddha. Krishna is saying that he will not take pleasure in anything that will he knows is going to cause me. That's why jnanis are always alert inside, very alert inside, that they will not develop any attachment anywhere in this world. That constant attention on the soul, constant attention on the objects of the sources of misery also. constant attention. That's why he's saying here, Ehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yone mevate adhyanda vanta kauntaya nateshu ramade buddha. Nateshu ramade buddha. Our nature is like this. As soon as there is a little happiness somewhere we can extract, immediately jump into that. Wherever it is possible to extract some happiness from somewhere. So that's why we have this. That is, it comes as a habit in us. It's become a habit for us. That we're thinking, oh, I worked so hard so many years, why shouldn't I enjoy? Or logic will find. This is the way the mind drives you, isn't it? Mind drives you. Whereas the spiritually advanced personalities, they think they can save some time from this world. If vyavaharam they have to do, they'll do it. But as soon as vyavaharam is finished, they want to withdraw from the world and find some happiness within themselves, in the soul. Now this one point, it is not practiced very easily. Most of the people think that they have to have some, what do they call, holidays and rejoicing in this and all these desires to enjoy. And it doesn't matter, we will say that I'm going to holy places, pilgrimage, this, that and the other. But ultimately, that desire for enjoyment is very strong inside. Want to enjoy everything. But if we can do it without engaging in very sinful activities, we still give it a spiritual coating, spiritual color, somehow or the other. But important is this, thing point is this, that Krishna is saying here, that realization of this will help in the long run. This is what Krishna is saying here. The realization of this is more important than any pilgrimage or any holy place or any other thing. This realization of these verses in life. If we have realized it and it has become our life centered around these verses, then you will experience a much greater happiness from this than all the other arrangements we make through our plans. Ehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yone mevate adhyanta vanta kaunteya na teshu ramade buddha. Adhyanta vanta kaunteya, everything has a beginning and it has an end. Holidays also has a beginning and it has an end. When the holidays are finished and you come back, you feel a little bit, then you say you want to charge back again into all sorts of things we do, isn't it? Adhyanta vanta kaunteya na teshu ramade buddha. It shouldn't be like that. That's, I need some excitement, so I go on holiday. And when holidays are over, I come back, I feel depressed. So what's the use of that holiday? So Krishna is saying, it has got a beginning, it has got an end. Everything in this world is like that, isn't it? So from a spiritual angle, from a spiritual platform, shanti is more important. The peace inside, not getting disturbed over anything. Because if shanti has developed inside, even while changing the body, when we have to leave this body, you will feel that shanti state, you can escape and no more have to come back again to this world. That's what Krishna has spoken about before. So, just like sometimes when you are depressed, you watch the television, put the telly on, isn't it? Then you feel happiness. So, or someone comes to see you, whom you like very much, he comes to see you, you are happy. So if you don't have any opportunity like that, you feel distressed immediately inside. So, in other words, what it means is, my happiness is dependent on something outside, isn't it? It is dependent on something outside. That is what that word is saying, samsparshaja bhoga. Samsparshaja means, only if I contact with something outside, that I am feeling happy. This state should not happen. That's Krishna's point. Samsparshaja bhogam should not happen. Because if that happens, contact, born, pleasures born from contact with another object. All happiness in this world is pleasures are born from contact outside, isn't it? So from samsparsham. So samsparsham and bhogam, enjoyment. So bhogam or happiness that has come from samsparsham are unnatural. They are not natural. All the happiness what you have experienced in this world from samsparsham. Samsparsham means all that has come from contacts with the objects in the world. Family members, or from five senses in contact with the sense objects. Senses in contact with sense object is samsparsham. While eating a nice fruit or nice sweet, it is samsparsham, isn't it? that bhogam is samsparshajam. Krishna's point, and that has a beginning and has an end as well. You can't eat unlimitedly, isn't it? Similarly, smelling something, it is samsparshajam. Seeing something with the eyes, samsparshajam. Similarly, tasting, touching something soft and feeling happiness from that, samsparshajam. So all the five senses of knowledge, whatever happiness is coming from them, is samsparshajam. So Krishna is saying here, samsparshajo yogi samsparshajo bhoga. That he knows it's coming from contact with the sense objects. He is very conscious of that. Therefore it is unnatural. It's unnatural. Natural is something it has created on its own inside. Happiness coming from inside. That is natural. That is its natural state. So here, that anything that is coming through samsparsham and in another time which leaves you, that is unnatural. It's not natural to me. It's not natural to me. That's not my property. I got that happiness only because I am in contact with something. Therefore, I've got it. Otherwise, I'm not feeling any happiness. So that's why it's unnatural. I should feel happy, shanti inside, without any help of external object. Then it is natural. Then it is natural. So that is why Krishna is saying here that all the happiness what you are experiencing in this world, Krishna says here, dukkha yonayam evate. They have come from dukkha yoni. Inside there is dukkham, and externally it will give you happiness. Inside it is dukkham. Dukkham packaged in the sukham. That's what it is. It's like the sukham is outside when you are enjoying it. But as you bite it and go inward, it is dukkham inside. Dukkham is packaged inside sukham. Krishna is saying like that. Krishna is saying that. That's why he says, dukkhayone mevade. Yogi samsparshajo bhoga dukkhayone mevade. Very beautiful verses to think about and to see the reality, the truth behind what Krishna is saying here. That he says here that it will give you happiness now, but keep on giving you happiness and one day it will give you terrible distress at the end. It will give you terrible distress. All love affairs ends up like that, isn't it? In this world, initially it's all very love, 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 and talking about love, everything. And after a while, it goes on for some time, it ends up in frustration. It ends up in frustration. And then it gives you a lot of distress also at the end. And this is the problem, what Krishna says here. It'll become more and more dangerous because you'll become a slave to them. You'll become a slave to them. So everything starts with this addiction, samsparsham, addiction. And what happens is, first we go and catch hold of that. That object is jadam. The object itself is jadam, that matter. It doesn't have the strength to come and catch us. It is us who go and catch it first. It is us who goes and catch it first. That's its difference between chaitanyam and jadam. Chaitanyam means the living force inside the soul. So chaitanyam goes and catches something. Jadam, dead matter. No dead matter will catch you. No dead matter will catch you. It's always chaitanyam who does it first. Chaitanyam goes and catch hold of another dead matter. And then what happens is that the dead matter will catch the chaitanyam and chaitanyam cannot escape from that. Few people are standing on the river bank. So in the water, a bundle of blankets were flowing down in the water. So some person said, let me get that blankets. Water, river is flowing. So he jumped into the water, swam and caught hold of the blanket. And he wanted to bring the blanket to the river shore, wanted to come back with the blanket. But then after a while, he realized that it was not a blanket. The blanket was not leaving him. He wanted to leave the blanket and come back. Actually, it was a bear. It was a bear. So he wanted to come out, but he couldn't come out. The bear was holding him. Bear was not letting him go. The people who were standing on the river shore, they were telling him, I'm drowning, he was saying. So he said, leave that and come back. They were telling him, leave that blanket and come back. He has realized it's not a blanket, it's a bear. Bear is holding me very tightly, won't letting me go. What to do? So this is how our sense enjoyment in this world is. Everything we go and hold on to something, then we can't leave it, because that won't leave us. That won't leave us. Chaitanyam and Jadam is like that. So when the people in the river, riverbank was telling him to leave and come back, he says, I left it, but it's not leaving me, he says. He's shouting it from the river. He's shouting like that. So similarly, TV is a dead thing. It has nothing to do with you. TV is not calling me, come and watch me, come and watch me. TV never tells me. So, but I am living force inside, and I have recognized the influence of the dead object on me, or the TV on me. And that Jadam is telling me, I have become a slave of that dead matter, Jadam. I have become a slave of that. And so therefore, TV is one example. Everything else is also in the same way. So in all situations, my nature is Chaitanyam. My nature is Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means living force. And Prarabdha Karmam also. Prarabdha Karmam and that Chaitanyam, living force, is not under the control of Prarabdha. That also we have to remember. Every time we think that, oh, it's my Prarabdham. Prarabdham is for whom? We have to ask that question. Prarabdham is for the body, is for the mind, not for me. So in every situation, if you look, Chaitanyam is not the slave of anybody. What has happened is, Chaitanyam has gone and come into contact with the dead matter, Jadaswarupam, Jadam. And the Jadam, we are unable to leave the Jadam. That is what has happened to us in our contact with this world. Prarabdha Karmam is also Jadam. So, Prarabdha Karmam is something like the fan which is switched off. So, why Prarabdha Karmam gives us trouble? Because Chaitanyam, Chaitanya Swarupam, I am Chaitanyam force, and I have gone and caught hold of all this Prarabdha Karmam, and I have recognized that Prarabdham is more powerful than me. I have recognized that. And that is why we say that in spiritual life, you can never say that I cannot make spiritual progress because of my Prarabdham. We may say like this, bodily problems, family problems, financial problems, all sorts of problems in this world. But from a spiritual point of view, they are all becomes you have recognized them as a problem, and you are in the control of this dead matter of the body, or the body and the mind and the problems. Therefore, you are experiencing that. But once you accept this awareness that I cannot be brought under control of anybody, I am totally independent. The soul inside is totally independent. In that case, nothing can control it. That's why you see many spiritually realized souls, they keep on acting in this world without having any impact, result. They are not bothered. It does not affect them at all. They keep on doing things in that realized state. They act. Soul is the only reality. Other work can go on in this world with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. It doesn't matter what it does. They engage in the karma yoga in that way. When you keep on doing things like that, none of it can affect you at the end. So once that waking up has happened inside, then nothing can hold on to you anymore. That's what the Upanishads are saying. That Swarajya Simhasanam, he is an emperor of that throne, of his own kingdom. Saswarad Bhavadi is fully independent. Sarveshu Logeshu Kamacharo Bhavadi. From that Sarveshu Logeshu Kamacharo Bhavadi. That means from all the desires he has freed himself from this world. If you have freed yourself from all the desires in this world, in other words, there's no more contact with anything else in this world. So Swarad Bhavadi, He is fully independent. Not the, our. That is why the independence is based on how much free one is from desires. One is free from desires. Slogesh sarveshu logeshu kamacharyo bhavati sa swarat bhavati. He is independent. Upanishads are saying to us that he is independent. You can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, janmadhyasa yadonvaya idara sarteshu abhijna swarat. The word used is swarat there, isn't it? The first verse in the Bhagavatam. Janmadhyasa yadonvaya idara sarteshu abhijna swarat. Why is used the word swarat? Swarat is means fully independent. That is our nature. The soul's nature is like that, fully independent. And that is what Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there. Artheshu abhijna swarad. One who is conscious of that swarad, independent nature, then he is not under the control of anything. That means he is completely no desires inside. So, then you can travel freely in this whole creation, wherever you want to. Now, at the moment, we cannot do that because all those objects which are very close to us, we are sticking to that, isn't it? What is close to us, we are sticking to that. So, in other words, you can travel freely means, what does that mean? That means you are not the slave of anything. That's what it means. You can travel freely means. Does it mean that you have to travel to all the other planets and all the other the places in this whole creation? That's not what it means. What it means is that you are not the slave of anybody in this world. That is not a slave of any asad. Because we have recognized the contact with the asad in this world, the sat has become a slave of the asad. That's what has happened to us. That the soul inside which is sat has made the contact with the asat and has become the slave of the asat, slave of the body. Once this realization wakes up inside that I am the soul, this slavery will go. This slavery will go. Therefore, I am, the soul which I am, has created this one thing, it's called the body, material body, and I keep recognizing the existence of this body. It's something I know, it's hard to digest this, but that is the reality. I am recognizing the existence of this body. When spiritual realization happens, you have to come to this understanding, body doesn't exist. Like it happened to Parikshit, you remember? That, what did Parikshit say? That, Pashabuddhim imam jahi, tumdurajan marishyedi, Pashabuddhim imam jahi. So, in realized position, that Pashabuddhi, animal intelligence, what we have now, has to go. Na jataha, body was not born. Pragabuddhe dehavantuntu nangshasi. Only deham is getting destroyed. Deham is getting destroyed. Na nangshasi, dehavatvam na nangshasi. Atma, soul cannot get destroyed. So all this deeper and subtle understanding will come to this point to understand that if because I am recognizing now I have this body, I am my mind, I am my intelligence. If I don't do this, who will look after me? Who will care for me? All sorts of misapprehensions are inside us. And therefore we are identifying with the body so strongly, isn't it? But once we lose this connection with the soul, with the body, the soul will not experience any problem at that time. Soul will is in its own identity. So shariram or material body has naturally, in an inherent state, inherent level, it has gone contact with this world, with the people. And this contact with the body, with other people, because of that I become a slave of that. I relate with all other people through the body, isn't it? So the body only, I'm not relating with the spiritual level. All relationships in this world is on a bodily level. That I'm seeing that he's my friend, he's my father, he's my mother, he's my brother. This way, all these relationships in this world are based on the body. So long as this is happening like that, I have become a slave of the body. So, that's what we are engaged in the moment, in this state of experience, in this world, in the life in this world, what we are experiencing is an unnatural situation. It's very hard to digest, isn't it? That whole life is unnatural. We are thinking it is the only natural thing in this world. This is the difficulty, see, that when we realize things and when we look at jnanis who have realized that the whole thing is unnatural, these relationships are unnatural, this whole material body is unnatural state, mind is unnatural, all my loyalties in this world are all unnatural, it's all not natural thing. That is the one time when we come to this understanding, the soul wakes up inside and start telling us that why did I get into this mess with this body, mind and the intelligence. So the point Krishna is saying here is that unless you come to the natural state, that's what Krishna is talking about. The natural state is what is that Krishna says in that last line, Natyeshura Madhe Buddha, he says the last words, isn't it? That he says there that in the verse 22, Adyanta Vanda Kaunteya Natyeshura Madhe Buddha. That Natyeshura Madhe Buddha means that. That he's saying here that you have to learn to find that happiness in the soul. To learn to find happiness in the soul. So only then you can leave the happiness in the world outside. Till you find the happiness in the soul, you won't be able to leave the happiness in the world outside. So in the world, the happiness outside, if you do that, naturally bhakti will develop inside. Naturally bhakti will develop inside. And what it means is that if you leave the world outside, if virakti or detachment comes outside, in a natural way, bhakti will develop towards Krishna for a devotee. Bhakti will develop in a natural way inside if you leave our attachment outside. In a natural way it will happen. So, but that is what we may misunderstand in that way. That if I leave everything, will bhakti happen? No, it's not like that. If bhakti happens to Krishna, we will leave the things outside. This is how it works. We will think that if I leave everything, will I develop attachment for Krishna? That is how normally we will think, isn't it? Normally most of us think like that. If I leave everything outside, I've given up everything, and why I don't have bhakti? We think like that, isn't it? Why I'm not feeling an attachment for Krishna? I've left everything. Why I'm not feeling? No, it's not like that. First, attachment has to develop for Krishna. When we develop that attachment, then the other things will leave us. Other attachment will leave us. That is the principle, not the other way. First, the development attachment towards Krishna has to happen. It's in the Bhagavatam also mentioned, isn't it? In many places it says like that. Once the devotion develops inside, attachment for the world will go. In a natural way it will go. Yeah. Bhagavatam says, Tektva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan apakveda padetado yadi yatrakka vabhadram abhudam ushyakim ko vatra apto bhajadam swadharmada. Narada Maharshi's instructions to Vedavyas. When Narada Maharshi instructed Vedavyas, he says like that. Yes, Tektva swadharmam charanambujam hare. That one who has not doing anything is dharmam in this world. But he got somehow attached to Krishna. He became very serious about spiritual life, in other words, it means. Tektva swadharmam charanambujam hare. Krishna's lotus feet. He's holding on to that. Attraction to Krishna has become very intense inside. Tektva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan. And he engaged in bhajana, in Krishna consciousness activity. Apakveda pate tadho yadi. And before it became to full ripened state, full maturity, apakveda pate tadho yadi. Before that happened, before he became matured in that attachment, he fell. Body fell. In other words, he lost his body. Yatrakava abhadramabhudamushekim. Is he a loser in that state? Narada Maharshi says, no, he's not a loser. Yatrakava abhadramabhudamushekim. He's never a loser, he says. Why? को वार्थ आप्तो भजदाम स्वधर्मदा, दैट वन हू हैज परफॉर्म्ड ओनली स्वधर्मम प्रॉपरली बट को वार्थया आप्तो भजदाम स्वधर्मदा, दैट स्टिल ही कुड नॉट गेट अटैच टू कृष्ण प्रॉपरली. He performed his swadharmam very well. All his duty, 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 what we are talking about, he has done all that well. But he did not develop attachment for Krishna. Who is more successful? The person who has developed attachment for Krishna. That etrakkava bhadram abhudamushyekim. But all his material life was in a mess. It didn't work out very well. So many problems happened. It was never a success. Sometimes I see, you also must have noticed this, big businessmen, they have started business. And some of them made it to the top, made a lot of money and became very rich. Some of them didn't make it so much. In a small level, they grew. Maybe they made a quarter million or half a million or 1 million like that. Somebody has, and same other people whom they knew, they started business together, same time, in other words. One person has made millions and billions and he grew very big, worldwide big. Another one didn't grow that much. He made half a million or probably 1 million or something like that. So they will compare each other, won't they? He done very well compared to me. They'll say like that, isn't it? So same thing, Krishna is saying here that that tektva sodharmam charanambujam hare, that in that process of executing your sodharmam in this, you have fallen. It did not work out everything as you planned. Or you could not do it properly. Somewhere so many flaws have happened and so many problems have come. But Narada Maharshi is saying there, bhajanyo bhakveda pade tado yadi apakvam, means immature. Before it matured itself, or before you could complete your mission in this world on a material life, that body dropped away or body became sick. It could not continue further. Yatra kava bhadrama bhudamushya kim, that what is abhadram, what is inauspicious for him? Nothing. He has not made it in his life, in material life, but on the spiritual side he has developed attachment for Krishna. Whereas the other person who has done everything, sodharmam very well, perfectly done everything, all his duty he has done properly, and he has followed the principles, everything. What's the use, he says? Ko vartha apto bhajadam sodharmadam. Even if his sodharmam was very good, Kuvartha apto bhajadam sodharmada. What is the use? Because at the end of the day, if you look at the balance sheet, it is zero there. Nothing is there. Whereas this person who has engaged in Krishna consciousness, he has gained a lot. His balance sheet looks better than the other person who left this world working hard and earning a lot of money and living a comfortable life in this world. For him, it's a... People feel envy for others, isn't it? Oh, he's doing very well, we say. Oh, he's done well, or he's doing very well. All these kind of things, people talk about it. What is this doing well? Doing well is this, made a lot of money, enjoying a lot of senses, that's all it is. At the end, life is a disaster. He leaves this world in complete distress at the end. So, this is why bhakti, first develop bhakti to Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet. Once we develop that bhakti towards Krishna, what will naturally happen? All this attraction for the world will leave us. There will be no attraction in this world at that stage. The nature of the mind is, as soon as he sees something beautiful, it will go and stand there. Stay there. It will not stay there. Till it sees something better than that. Have you noticed that with the mind? If mind sees something beautiful, mind will immediately go and stand in, observe that beauty. If it is a flower, if it's something beautiful, a person, or anything, it doesn't matter. If you see something beautiful, the mind will get attracted. It's a natural thing in the mind, it happens. It'll keep thinking about that, the mind will get absorbed in that. It won't leave that till it'll find something more attractive than that, or more interesting than that. So, somebody has given a letter to the mind, you go and see there and stay there, and that's why, that's a symptom of that. So, and this capacity of the mind has come from the soul. Soul is given this letter to the mind. Wherever you find happiness, go and stand there. Somebody has told the mind like this. So, and with this letter in the hand, The mind is wandering in this world, looking for that happiness. Looking for the happiness. The mind is wandering in this world. So, if everything is the same, all objects in this world have the same beauty, then what will the mind do? But the mind has been told by somebody, look, this is more beautiful than the other. So look at this beauty. And this experiencing this beauty in different objects is the chapalata of the mind. Chapalata means this mind which has its chabalim. Chabalim means this flirtation, flirting with the world in this way. The mind is flirting. But once it sees something very beautiful, or if it thinks it's beautiful, the mind will go and stand there. Nobody has to tell the mind about it, isn't it? Natural way it will go. And there you don't have to say, don't move from here. If it's very beautiful object, what the mind has seen, mind will keep looking at it, but the mind won't move away from there. In a natural way, it will stay there. You don't have to tell the mind at that point. If you want to get the mind out of that place, you have to show the mind something more beautiful than that. Only then the mind will lose that attachment to that particular object. So, if you keep on looking at it this way, if it sees the most beautiful object in this creation, the mind will not leave that object. The most beautiful object. That is why we say that Krishna should be decorated so well that by seeing Krishna, the mind should not go elsewhere. The attraction should be such that we should feel that attraction to Krishna to such an extent, the mind should not go anywhere else. So therefore, you will see in the Shastram also the names that's been given. Lord Shiva also in the same way, the name is given Sundareshwara. Shiva's another name is Sundareshwara. Why? It's the most beautiful personality. Lord Shiva as a personality is very beautiful. Although he is very renounced, and in some places you see like he has a deer skin or elephant skin he wears. He has an elephant skin as a dress and he puts on his shoulder a deer skin. And the snake is all around the neck and the moon on the head. So that form, but in some places Sri Parvati glorifies Shiva, his beauty. Sri Parvati herself has a name called Tripura Sundari. There is no one who is more beautiful than her in all the three worlds. So this saundaryam, we have to get attached somewhere. In Shiva's beauty, Sri Parvati's beauty, Krishna's beauty, in some beauty, somewhere, the mind has to go and stay. And lose its taste for any other beauty in this world. Lose its taste in any other beauty in this world. So that is why it's said like that. Tribhira Sundari, Sundareshwara, all these names have come like that. While talking about Krishna, it says there, Saundaryottaratobi sundaradaram tvadrupam ascharyadobi ascharyam. That means, Saundaryottaratobi sundaradaram. All that is beauty in this world, if you take it, you add the beauty all together, if there is something more beautiful than that, is Krishna. Saundaryottaratobi sundaradaram tvadrupam, Krishna's form. Ascharyadobi ascharyam, that is wonderful, more wonderful than all the wonders of this world. Krishna's beauty. Krishna's beauty is like that. So, you may have also heard Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. All these things is, the beauty is the important point. So, once we see that beauty of Krishna, that is from the devotee's point of view. Once you see the beauty of Krishna, or if you see the beauty of the soul, Jnani's point of view, if you see the beauty of the soul, then our happiness will not be, our mind will not be interested in the happiness, beauty of this world outside. Beauty of the world. Saundaryottaratobi sundaradaram tvadrupam ascharyadopi ascharyam pushnadi vishnu vibhom. Therefore, similarly, if you see the happiness in the soul, it will not go back to the world outside to enjoy anymore. So, similarly, if we realize the eternity of the soul, then the mind will not go to the temporary things in this world. Temporary things in the world. So, in the soul, you experience this reality of the eternity of the soul, permanent nature, the beauty or the of the soul, and the happiness also in the soul. And in that case, and in a natural way, without anyone telling the soul, it will stop going outward looking. And not only that, it will not see any happiness in the objects outside, rather it will start seeing the distress in all these objects. So when Krishna says all these things, the way, the process way it happens is like this. Simply by developing that Krishna consciousness or attachment to Krishna, we will lose in a natural way attachment to the world, attraction to the world as well. That's the point Krishna is making here. So, just like, suppose there is a good prasadam at home, first class feast, you won't be attracted to anything else to go and eat, isn't it? And sometimes we have attraction for the food outside to eat in the restaurant or to go elsewhere to find for some taste. Why? Because we haven't got the attraction for the food. Suppose the food at home was such a lovely feast, everything was there, and all your desires are satisfied, you won't bother to travel to somewhere else to have a meal. So, but if you don't have, the food is very poor at home and you're not satisfied with the eating, then you are thinking about the big feasts and big celebrations all at that time. So if we have enough at home, then naturally we will not go outside. Similarly, if there is enough happiness inside, taste for the soul and self-realization, then attachment to the world will go. In a natural way, it will go. So, naturally we have to control the senses. But more than that, important than that, this is Atma-vijaram or Atma-dhyanam. We have to endeavor in that direction of cultivating this soul inside, spiritual consciousness. Because unless we experience taste there, you will not be able to escape from the world outside. Little by little, it should go towards that center of the soul. And there, shanti, peace, or happiness, which has no vichiti. Vichiti means where it does not have any breakdown. If you find that, then no more our happiness we will not look for in this dukkha yoni. What Krishna says as the dukkha yoni. Krishna says there in that verse, isn't it? Eha samsparshajo yoga. Yehi samsparshajo yoga dukkha yone mevate. Krishna's point is that once you find happiness in the soul, automatically all your attraction for the objects in the world outside will leave because you started finding the happiness in the soul. If you have got it, even to some degree, little by little, if you start experiencing that, natural way, attraction towards the world will go. Forcefully, if you give up everything and saying that I'll become Krishna consciousness, it will not happen. The way it happens is attraction towards the soul, attraction towards Krishna, and you don't have to renounce then, the world will renounce you. The world will renounce you. You don't have to renounce the world. The world will renounce you. That is the way it happens. So therefore, we have to find the beauty and the happiness in the soul, in Krishna. In other words, that is the way it will work. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then what will happen? Dukkha yone mevade samsparshajo bhoga. Then you will know that where the mind and the senses are making contact and bringing happiness to me is all sources of misery. I will realize that at that time. At that time I will realize that. That when I start experiencing the happiness of the soul, happiness of Krishna inside, automatically I will also realize yehi samsparshajo bhoga dukha yone mevate. All the happiness I was getting from the world outside due to my samsparsham, due to the contact with the objects, they are all sources of misery. This realization will come to me and I will keep away from that. I don't have to keep away. Natural way, I will move away from that. Forcefully trying to keep away from something won't last very long. It will break. It will not stay. But of course, one should use the intelligence also not to come into contact with all sense objects. That's not a good thing. But Krishna is saying here that dehi samsparsha jo bhoga dukha yone mevate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person, buddha, intelligent person, he will come to understand by cultivating this understanding that they are all sources of misery packaged in happiness. Packaged in happiness, externally packaged in happiness, inside misery. Once he realizes that, and he has gone back to the soul and he started experiencing the happiness of the soul, after that he does not think about them anymore. They all leave him because already he has re-experienced the miseries of the happiness in the world outside. Prabhupada mentions there, an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end. And so the wise man does not delight in them. Wise man does not delight in them. So whenever the mind is taking us to the world outside, giving us this idea of enjoy, 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 we have to understand that we are not feeling happiness in the spiritual life. That's why it's going outward, looking for that happiness. So that's why Krishna says, Dukkayoneyam evate, isn't it? That tension, and that it is not attraction for that. So the normally you don't go and put your hands or legs in the fire. So the fact is that when you are experiencing this desire to go and enjoy in the world outside, because it is a disease inside, that is caught us. We are infected with a disease inside that I have to find happiness from the world outside. So, because it's like a leprosy, they say, kushtam, leprosy for the mind, that it has to find the happiness inside. So, once that disease is cured, then it will not go and look for this happiness outside. You won't be a beggar anymore. When you are going around and looking for happiness, that means you are in a beggar-like state, that you are not getting it happiness from inside. Therefore, it's happening. So that's why Krishna says, Dukha yone mevate. Mind should not go into it. You should not do any transactions. That's not what it means, vyavaharam. But all the vyavaharam outside, and you won't allow that to make an addiction inside the mind. It won't become an addiction inside. You can look at Krishna himself. Krishna has done everything in this way, in this world, isn't it? What Krishna has not done, if you look into it. From childhood to right up to the, from birth, right up to the point when Krishna disappeared from this world, what all things Krishna has performed in this world, but never a slave of anything. Never a slave of anything. In Vrindavanam, in the childhood pastimes, and then from Vrindavanam to Dwaraka later, in Madhura, and later on into Dwaraka also, so, no connection anywhere. No connection. Lot of things are taught through these pastimes to us. Devaki Devi, born, Krishna born from Devaki Devi, but no attachment. When Krishna was transported to Gokulam and stayed there, and did Devaki Devi had attachment, but Krishna's inside was that state of realization always. Ajobisanna Vayatma, I am not born. That state. From there itself you can notice that. Ajobisanna Vayatma, I am Ajan, I am Avayam. That spiritual, total spiritual realized state. That's Krishna's state all the time. Devaki was crying, my son this, my son that. Krishna was not crying. Was it? Okay. Gokulam, all that happened. Came then to Vrindavanam and Yashoda Devi. Poor Yashoda Devi cried and cried. Can you imagine the state what she was in at the age 12 years old? Krishna was taken one day by Akrura to Madhurapuri. And while going, Krishna says, I'll come back. Never went back. According to Bhagavatam, he hasn't gone back again. Then he goes back when, after many, many years, when he was... Yashodadevi and Nanda Maharaj came for next time when they see Yashodadevi and Nanda Maharaj is Rukmini's marriage time. No attachment there also, even with Yashoda. Yashodadevi, if you look all that childhood pastimes, it's so beautiful pastimes that you see Yashoda's mood at that time. That separation from Krishna when Krishna left that day. At the age of 40, Yashoda had Krishna. Already there was a time that Yashoda was almost decided she's not going to have any more children. It was then that she had Krishna. So you can see the attachment was very, very strong in Yashoda's mind. And suddenly one day, Akhura has come and taken him away. Imagine Yashoda's situation. Yashoda was thinking that he's going to come back in a few days. He's going to see the festival in Mathura. And the child never came back. Nanda Maharaj comes back and says to Yashoda, he is not our son, he is Vasudeva Devaki's son. What news more than this will be? Even if it is Vasudeva Devaki's son, doesn't matter, Yashoda says. But at least can I see him once? That opportunity was not given. This didn't happen. Uddhava was sent later with the message to pacify them. Krishna didn't go. Krishna goes much, much later. So these things are to tell us that be like Krishna. How Krishna has developed that mood of not a part of anything, not a part of this world, always on the spiritual platform. So no sticking anywhere, in other words, not sticking anywhere. That is the secret what Krishna is telling us here. This is a secret because one who has practiced it and shown it to us, he can tell us better. What is the secret of being happy? This is the secret Krishna is telling us. If you want to be happy, this is my secret, Krishna is saying. So the total realized state, always on the platform of the soul, ajam, ajobisan, avayalpa, that is a state all the time Krishna is there. So not only whichever object is coming in this world closer to you, immediately give attention to it, thinking that one day that object will leave you also. Any object, doesn't matter, wife, children, or family members, close members, friends, anybody, doesn't matter who it is. Whoever they come closer, one day will give you distress later. So, not only in the objects outside, even in your thoughts inside, you have to develop that meditation. Even while sitting in this world, you have to have this meditation inside, not to be sticking to anything in this world. Jagrada. Tasmal, jagrada, jagrada. So, that is an important thing. So we will discuss that tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.